protector of the Constitution from enemies foreign and domestic.
Well, hello, beautiful.
Now
provider of truth.
Government is not the solution to our problem.
The fight for freedom is on right now.
Government is the problem.
Government is the problem.
Powers to the people with Tony Powers.
And welcome into the third hour, the hour of power on Powers to the People.
Ronnie knew.
Huh?
Ronnie knew.
Yeah. Ronnie did know, didn't he?
Mommy, government is the problem.
Yeah, it's not the solution.
No.
Definitely the problem. All right, Tony Powers along with Lee Miller and your calls at 706-922-9396 or 9390. If you'd like to join the conversation, we, I think, have hit on it here, finally. It's like a little light bulb came on, but it's something that we've been talking about for a long, long time. And we'll discuss it today during the 5 o'clock hour with our guest, Colin Christopher, who is a clinical hypnotherapist certified by the American Council of Hypnotist Examiners. He's the author of Success Through Manipulation, Subconscious Reactions That Will Make or Break You. Have we been subconsciously hypnotized by the government? Colin has been studying human behavior and the subconscious mind for the past 15 years. With the upcoming midterm election, he joins us today to talk about political manipulation. That's easy for you to say. And how the candidates and their campaigns will try to sway your vote. But also, how the bureaucracy has swayed us. Oh,
man.
For how many years we have been propagandized to. Mm-hmm. To the point that the American public does not realize that we no longer count.
No.
We don't count. And we're going to talk about that this hour on Powers to the People. Don't forget our website, italkus.com. Go there while you still can. And you can stream us live 24/7. And, of course, we got apps for all your mobile devices as well. And don't forget, we do archive the programs. And I'm sure the bureaucrats have got all those put away somewhere in some metadata.
They can't find Lois's emails.
But they got our archives.
They got our archives.
And
I just checked outside.
Yeah.
The drones are overhead.
Drones are flying around.
Yeah, they're up there.
It's when you don't hear them that is bad.
Yeah.
All right. This hour of the program brought to you by Americans for Prosperity, where the Defending the Dream Summit takes place this weekend. And I will be there broadcasting live from Dallas, Texas, beginning Friday morning on the Talk of the Town. I'll have a couple of segments there, and then we'll do our entire show Friday afternoon live from Dallas. And then a special on Saturday from 10 a.m. until noon. And all kind of great guests, Rand Paul, Ted Cruz, Dr. Ben Carson, Kyle Petty, Representative Marsha Blackburn, Governor Rick Perry, Senator Jeb Hensarling, Arthur Brooks, Carly Fiorina, Bill Whittle, and, of course, the Tea Potty Hottie.
The red, white, and blue Tea Potty Hottie, last name Hughes and first name Scotty.
Middle name Nell.
Scotty Nell Hughes.
And Scotty Nell is going to be sitting in with me on Saturday, and of course we will have from Rare.us Tabitha Hale is going to be down there.
You lucky dog.
And and the guy
who's
going
to be surrounded by blondes.
Yeah, and
I hear you.
You know, and our good friend who's running for president from the Constitution Party is going to be down there as well.
Oh, Bob McNeil?
Bob McNeil.
Cool.
He and I are actually going to have dinner on Friday night.
How to run this thing by.
Yeah, and Bob will probably sit in with me for a while, too, during the broadcast. So it should be a lot of fun. I hope you'll tune in Friday. Americans for Prosperity. Go to their website. And defendingthedream.org is the site if you'd like to attend the conference and the summit. If you haven't got anything to do this Labor Day weekend, you should be there along with about 4,000 or 5,000 other crazy conservatives.
That's right.
It's going to be a good time.
And you'll find out. Conservatives have the hottest chicks.
Oh, yeah. Believe me. I just stay away from the pool. I don't even go there. All right, but anyhow, the AmericansForProsperity.org. Go there and check them out and throw them some money. They're doing great things for our country.
Tell the truth. You're taking a Speedo, aren't you?
No. I don't look good in Speedos. Those days are gone. All right, we do want to get into this thing because Lee and I have developed a theory, and actually it's one we have been developing over the years, that it's not the Democrats, it's not the Republicans we have to worry about.
No.
It's not even the socialist.
No.
It's not even the communist. It's the bureaucracy that wants, well, the bureaucracy really is a communist form of government because it's a collectivist form of government.
Well, it's Soviet.
And it's a very Soviet form of government.
Right.
Where the bureaucrats run the country. We have now gotten to the point where the bureaucracy runs the country. Obama doesn't run the country. Harry Reid doesn't run the country. John Boehner doesn't run the country. Your congressman, your senator, your representatives, they don't run the country.
Nope.
Your vote, you can make your vote, and you can send a guy up there or a lady up there.
All that does is change the facade.
You're just changing the faces.
Yeah, you're changing the facade on the building.
The chess pieces, but the people who are playing the game are the people who can't be fired and aren't elected. It's the bureaucrats. And we're going to get into that with our friend Colin Christopher here after the break. There's a quote, and if you weren't listening during the last segment, Lee is going to reread this quote for you. And I want you to listen carefully to this quote, because it really tells the story of where America is today. And we'll get to that when we return on iTalk US.
iTalk US, your conservative voice.
You can dance every dance with the guy who gives you the eye to let him hold you tight. You can smile every smile for the man who held your hand neath the pale moonlight. But don't forget who's taking you home and in whose arms you're gonna be. So darling, say the last dance for me.
All right, welcome back to Powers to the People, kind of a beach music, bumper music, pump day here as we head into Labor Day weekend, the official end of summer. Kind of hard to believe it's happened so fast. Wasn't it just a few weeks ago we had an ice storm?
Really? Yeah.
You know, I'm like, wait, summer is over and now it's ice storm time almost again.
They couldn't have that Mayfest thing on time because there was too much ice storm debris on the fairgrounds. And now summer's over. What?
So save the last dance for me.
Are we in Alaska? Is that the deal? You just get 4 months of summer and then...
Where's that global warming when you need it?
Really? Al? Come on. Fire up the jet.
All right. Welcome back to the program. Tony and Lee. And your calls at 706-922-9396 or 9390 if you'd like to join our conversation with Colin Christopher, who is a clinical hypnotherapist certified by the American Council of Hypnotist Examiners. Author of Success Through Manipulation, Subconscious Reactions That Will Make or Break You. He's been studying human nature and behavior and the subconscious mind for the past 15 years. And with these upcoming midterm elections, we're going to talk a little bit about political manipulation, but with a new twist today. Not just how candidates and their campaigns are going to try to sway your vote, but how the bureaucrats sway your vote. You know, I've been in radio a long time, and first of all, welcome to the program, Colin. How you doing?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. I've been doing this a long time, and I just started thinking about this as we started this discussion today. Over the years, we have gotten what they call public service announcements. And you're talking about manipulation from the federal government, the different bureaucracies of the federal government.
Yeah.
They produce these things called public service announcements. You know, you need to quit smoking. You need to buckle your seatbelt.
Eat less salt.
Yeah, eat less salt.
Save money.
You know, all kinds of things that the government bureaucracy feed us through these public service announcements. announcements that they used to require radio stations to air. You had to air so many back in the day. Now they've kind of deregulated things, so you just run them when you couldn't sell a commercial. but still, you run them, and you kind of get credit with the Federal Communications Commission, which is another government bureaucracy, for doing all of that. It's government propaganda, and they have been doing a little mind control on us for as long as I can remember, and probably as long as radio has been in existence, the government has used a little bit of mind control.
We just celebrated somebody's birthday. He turned 70 years old. Guy who can't strike a match. His name? Smokey the Bear.
Oh, Smokey the Bear,
for
yeah.
For the U.S. Forestry Service.
That's right.
Been around for 70 years.
Only you can prevent forest fires. Yes. So we've had these PSAs going on for a long time. What we've been talking about today, and I want Lee First Column to read a little quote, and I'm not going to tell you when it came from, but I want you to hear this quote, and then I want to get your thoughts on this.
Okay. Today, the path to total dictatorship in the U.S. can be laid by strictly legal means, unseen and unheard by the Congress, the President, or the people. Outwardly, we have a constitutional government. We have operating within our government and political system another body representing another form of government, a bureaucratic elite. We have a well-organized political action group in this country determined to destroy our Constitution and establish a one-party state. The important point to remember about this group is not its ideology, but its organization. It is a dynamic, aggressive, elite core, forcing its way through every opening to make a breach for a collective one-party state. It operates secretly, silently, and continuously to transform our government without suspecting that the change is underway. If I seem to be extremist, the reason is that this revolutionary clique cannot be understood unless we accept the fact that they are extremist. It is difficult for people governed by reasonableness and morality to imagine the existence of a movement which ignores reasonableness and boasts its determination to destroy, which ignores morality and boasts its cleverness in outwitting its opponents by abandoning all scruples. The ruthless power-seeking elite is a disease of our century. This group is unanswerable neither to the President, the Congress, nor the courts. It is practically irremovable. When do you think that was said?
That sounds like something that was said probably, I think, I've heard it before, like somewhere in the Roman Empire, I think, is when I heard
This is actually the United States. This is a quote from William Ezra Jenner that was said 60 years ago in 1954.
And what he was talking about was, at the time, Congress, the Senate, the U.S. Senate, voted that treaties could supersede the U.S. Constitution. Now, we've been talking today about this. The president is actually trying to get through a global warming treaty without getting congressional approval. He's pursuing a climate accord in lieu of a treaty. But they're kind of doing it in a little roundabout way by saying they're just going to update the old treaty. And then, of course, by executive fiat and through regulation by the EPA, the bureaucrats then would decide, you know, without our Congress actually signing a treaty. We have gotten to the point now where it seems like the bureaucracy, not the representative government that we think we have, are actually running the country. Now, you understand about manipulation. We've been kind of talking about how they manipulate us through public service announcements, and we're concerned about how we get manipulated by politicians. But what about the bureaucracy? How can they manipulate minds of the American people?
Well, I think the first step is always a lot of repetition, but I think it's their primary form of manipulation in my mind is they overwhelm me with information. Like we talked about the Affordable Health Care Act that has what is it, 30,000 pages now?
Yeah.
That we were saying,
It started out at 2,700, now it's 30,000 in regulations.
30,000. So, I mean, who's in their right mind going to, who's got the time to sit down and read 30,000 pages of that kind of stuff, right? Like, and so what happens is they do all this stuff and they overwhelm you with this information. It's almost like going to, if you got an iPhone, everybody just agrees and accepts the terms of service. Those are like 50 pages and every update it's, I remember reading, it's like you need 11 weeks of actual reading time to keep up to your iTunes user service license agreements. So it's, by that same token, they just force everything through by making you so disinterested and so overwhelmed that you just don't want to do anything. You just assume that they're doing their job correctly. And I think that's where that manipulation comes from.
I think one of the biggest manipulations, and it kind of dawned on me, well, it hit me full force when I read this quote today. The biggest manipulation is that voting D or R really matters. It's just a facade. They're not doing anything. They're just the face. They don't control anything. It's all being controlled. I mean, it's like the wizard. They're behind the curtain. It's a bureau. Now, for those who don't know, the term Soviet means bureau. It's a form of government where elites, where they're not elected, they're appointed, they are professionals, they know their business, and they run everything. That's Soviet. You tell me we don't have a Soviet form of government? Yes, we do.
Well, you can even take a look at, like, you go to the Democratic and Republican conventions, and they essentially select a few people who are going to run. They pick their front runner, and then the rest of the country votes for one of these two guys, essentially. And there's no real independence where you have a leader that isn't beholden to all the all the lobbyists and everything else, and all the people who donated and did all the fundraising and all that kind of stuff, and they're answerable to those people, so they have the opportunity to manipulate the candidates that they've got.
Yeah, another facade. The Fed is a facade. Oh, who's going to be appointed Fed chief? Well, here's the thing. The Fed sends the president and the Congress three choices. They can't just pick anybody. The Fed sends them three choices, and the president and the Congress have to pick between those three choices. That is a facade of control that just is not real.
Mm-hmm.
And of course,
well, even look at the Supreme Court. I mean, it's you pick a few and you appoint a few, and you have 330-some million people in the states, and suddenly you're just being picked by you're hand selecting a few people. Is there really any, what democracy is there? It's just an appointment.
Well, and that's why I think, I don't know if we've gone over that tipping point now where the bureaucracy actually does control us completely, but we're getting so close to that.
It's militarizing behind the scenes.
Yeah, we actually have seen the militarization of government, and actually one of our frequent guests, Catherine Engelbrecht, who runs True the Vote, she talked about the militarization of government, and she was talking
about
the weaponization of government, but she was talking about the IRS and how they were attacking conservative organizations. But really, I think at this point in time, probably the Tea Party, as much as they are demonized, and boy, are they demonized, they may be our only hope, because they're the only ones talking about smaller, limited government. And the only way you're going to get...
And a government that operates within the bounds of the Constitution. Imagine that.
And the only way we're going to get to that is by sending people to Washington, D.C. who are actually going to get rid of a lot of these bureaucrats, because we have to break up this bureaucracy that now controls the country. Because we are being manipulated by this bureaucracy. Even, we were talking about earlier, these different lobbyists. The lobbyists, what are they lobbying for? They're lobbying for favors from the bureaucrats.
Yeah, they're lobbying for tax breaks or regulations that are going to benefit them and hurt their competition.
Yeah.
Which, now, Colin, by the way, you live in a place with a little bit of a different... form of, you don't live in the U.S., right?
Yeah, I live up in Canada.
And, I mean, do you guys have these kind of issues up there? What's going on there? I mean, we all know about, what's his face?
Yeah, with Stephen Harper, I mean, we have different issues as well, and there, you know, the biggest one lately is that there was some widespread voter fraud here, or gross incompetence by the Conservative Party, and that's still being researched and investigated. But it's possible we have a government in right now that was actually not voted in by the people. Or wouldn't have technically won, and we're still trying to figure that out. So we get all this kind of stuff going on too, and then we, like, one of the big things we've got, like, this Keystone Pipeline and all the other, we've got other pipeline issues that are coming across, and people don't want the pipelines, but it's just being rammed through by the government.
By the bureaucrats. I tell you what, let's pick up on that when we come back. More with Colin Christopher.
The new talk of the town.
Get there?
News Radio rocks.
Rock. Round, round, get around, I get around, yeah, get around, round, round, I get around, I get around.
Power is to the people. Little beach bumper hump day going on here. And the Beach Boys. And you couldn't have a beach music hump day without I Get Around Round.
Yeah. Little Brian Wilson.
Boy, you know, and it just occurred to me that our guest, Colin Christopher, is actually a Canadian. And I lived up in Minnesota for about 4 years, and we didn't have much of a summer there, and the reason we're playing beach music today is because Labor Day, the official end of summer, or at least the unofficial end of summer, and we're kind of trying to celebrate what's left of the summertime here today with the music. But how much summer do you get? Now, you live near Alberta, is that correct?
Yeah, I'm in Edmonton, Alberta, which is probably about 400 miles north of the Montana border, the Canada border in Montana there.
Oh wow. Okay. Well,
yeah, west.
Yeah, you're out in the western side.
So you're sure enough cold.
So
out
that's
there.
Where that Arctic vortex comes from. It just comes right out of your area and right down into us, isn't it?
that's still about 800 miles north of me.
Okay,
but it kind of hits you first.
Yeah, it does. It hits us just as much as it hits you guys.
All right. Well, we're getting back to now. We were talking about pipelines before we went to
bureaucracies and the government issues. Yeah.
Now in Canada, you've got the government that wants more pipeline. Here, you have a government that doesn't want more pipeline, and yet the government tends to get what they want either way, right?
Yeah, they have a pretty good tendency to get what they want either way, and it's really the only time that. Sort of the people get what they want is during election time when they make some promises, and then usually elected officials and bureaucrats get in, and then they do some things to make people happy, and then they flip back to doing all their other stuff and just confusing people and getting what they want instead of being beholden to the people. I think in my mind, anyway.
Well, it seems to be a universal problem, not just here in the United States, but in Canada. And, of course, we see what happens in countries like Mexico and in Europe, where it's just totally socialist now in Europe. But now we're getting to that point here. And we've heard for years and years and years about this thing called the New World Order, and you've heard the conspiracy theories about the New World Order and all that. And basically that comes down to treaties. And that's kind of where we got this, we were kind of leapt off on this conversation today, is because the president is trying to get through a treaty forcing basically the
global
United
warming
States
rules
on the United States and other industrialized countries. But the problem is, countries like the U.S. and Canada, they would probably actually enforce the treaties, and our EPA and whatever government agency you have in Canada that controls the environment, they would enforce those regulations. But countries like China and Russia and India and others would just ignore those. So basically, we'd be unilaterally disarming our economies for the benefit of countries who are just going to ignore it.
Yeah, that is the sort of the catch-22, and I know it's one of those things. China is a very economically motivated as well. And it's one of those things, if we start doing, I mean, Canada's fairly reliant on China as well in terms of imports and those kinds of things. Not as much as the States, but certainly we're there. But if we start hitting them in the pocketbook in other regards, I think it would be a way of maybe leveling the playing field in some way, shape, or form. That's sort of up above my pay grade, though, in terms of what the economics of scale are. but you're absolutely right. How do you enforce a treaty where you bind yourself, but everybody else is still going to ignore them and do whatever they want?
Oh yeah,
and I don't know that it would really hurt China that much. They keep on doing what they're doing.
And then again, we get back to this point of bureaucracies, because who enforces treaties? It's not the politicians; it's the bureaucrats in one country dealing with bureaucrats in another country. So eventually, the bureaucrats run the world.
They're already running the world, I think.
Well, that's kind of the point we're making.
Yeah, what we're trying to figure out, Colin, is what kind
of... How did we get manipulated into this?
Well, it was a slow process, I think.
And you're the man who understands manipulation.
But how do we manipulate them back? That's what we want to know. How do we throw some hypnosis back on them? We do the mirror thing.
Well, really, for change to really happen, it's got to be something that's going to most likely be grassroots, where a large population or a large section of the population is going to want the change and does something about it. Like, you take a look at historically when revolutions have occurred, or major shifts in world power, like even just with Egypt, just recently. All of those happen when people are very uncomfortable. They don't have access to basic necessities like food. Food's a big one. Like, if you take a look at most revolutions, you can tell there were food shortages in those areas, and then suddenly there was massive change within governments after that. So really, we're at a point now where we're still, and this is true pretty much anywhere in North America, we're well-fed, we're well-entertained, so we really don't have too much to complain about. We're ticked off about stuff, but we're not to this point where we're going to get off our butts and do something about it, because we're still too comfortable.
So we're right back to Rome then.
Bread and circuses. Yeah,
they do the bread and circuses. We let them do anything they want to do.
Primarily, we don't let them do anything they want to do, but they can slowly, it's a matter of scale. So you do something small, and then you do something a little bit smaller or larger, and then the next thing, and then suddenly things that normally wouldn't happen become common practice, because you've been sort of accustomed to it and led down the path to believe that this is the right thing to do.
Exactly. I mean, that's like the income tax. You go back to, 1915, 1920. They were debating on whether or not to even have one. It had been declared unconstitutional, so they had to pass a constitutional amendment to make that happen. When you start talking today about doing away with the income tax, people look at you like you have lost your mind. They cannot imagine a world with no income tax. They're going, no, you can't do that. How do you do that? You can't do that. We didn't always have one, but we can't imagine not having one.
And actually, we were economically better off when we didn't have one.
Oh, we did the most growing. We had 100-year growth between 1790 and 1890 was remarkable.
Yeah, so actually we would do better. What we have to do before the next time you come on is we're going to have to figure out a plan. How do we manipulate the people to wake up to the fact that the bureaucrats have manipulated themselves into power, and to actually overthrow the bureaucrats? And so,
well, there are, like, if you go online, there are places called change.org and I think someofus.org, and there's a few other petition places that have, in the last probably 3-4 years, they've grown to like 5 million strong. So when things they really don't like occur, they can start creating petitions, and then they bring those petitions to the politicians, and change does occur. It doesn't always happen, and it's not always successful, but it because there's a large enough group of people and they're spread across the planet, things do sometimes change. But it's really about building a resource and a database of people, so that that's the great thing about the internet. You can disseminate information quickly.
Your conservative voice on iTalk US.
From Pasadena, the little old lady.
Welcome back to Powers of the People. Final segment here. Your call, 706-922-9396 or 9390. Do you think we actually have a representative republic anymore?
A constitutional government, really.
Does anybody honestly think that we have a representative government in
Up
the United States of America anymore? Or do the bureaucrats actually run the show? President Obama pursuing climate accord in lieu of treaty, but a little sleight of hand. What they're going to do is basically update an old treaty without having to go through a Senate approval of the treaty.
Oh, wow. Okay, so which one is it they're going to do? Does it say?
Actually, all right, here's what they would do. It's a proposal to blend legally binding conditions from an existing 1992 treaty.
So this is Kyoto.
The Kyoto Treaty, with new voluntary pledges. The mix would create a deal that would update the treaty and thus, negotiators say, not require a new vote of ratification. So basically, the Obama administration would work out a treaty without having to have it ratified by the Senate.
Got it.
And, of course, again, who enforces treaties? Bureaucrats.
With
bureaucrats from other countries. Elected officials, but bureaucrats.
So they could do the same thing with the Automatic Weapons Treaty that was signed way back in like the 30s, 1938.
Sure. Yeah, because treaties supersede the U.S. Constitution. Believe it or not, it is a fact. A international treaty that has been approved by 67 members of the Senate supersedes the U.S. Constitution.
New World Order, anyone?
So, again, getting back to this whole idea of bureaucracy versus a representative democracy or a democratic republic, which our founders gave us,
right.
What have we allowed to happen to our country? We have first, instead of having the individual as the premier power in the country, the people, we have now turned that over to state governments. Who have turned over, and of course the states were actually superior to the federal government originally in our Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
And now, through the years, we have allowed through interstate commerce laws and other things.
Expansions.
And expansions of the federal government beyond the 18 enumerated powers that were granted to the federal government in the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, they are far beyond anything that our founders ever envisioned happening.
Yeah.
So how do we get back to our constitutional democratic republic and get out of from under the thumb of the bureaucrats? Because it's not our government, it's not the Democrats, it's not the Republicans, it's the bureaucrats.
We gotta start casting some radical votes. Because we are dealing with, and you pointed this out earlier, our bureaucracies have now militarized themselves. The IRS has what's equivalent to a military force. The Department of Education has what is equivalent to a military force.
The EPA has a military
force. The Department of Energy has a military force.
Certainly, Homeland Security
has
a military force.
Health and Human Services. Ta-da! Great minds. Bought, 7 billion rounds of ammunition?
Yeah.
7 billion rounds? Okay, wait a minute. There are only 330 million Americans. There are only 6 billion people. 6 billion people on the planet.
Yeah. And they bought how many billion rounds?
I think it was 7 billion rounds.
So they'll have a billion left over.
Right. They could shoot 1 billion of us twice.
Twice. So how do we get back to our democratic republic? And how do we get our government working for us rather than the other way around? The Tea Party, and you know, they have been much maligned and, of course, called crazies. But who is the real radical here? Is it the bureaucrat that wants the collectivist government, also known as communist government? And what is bureaucrat? What is the Russian word for bureaucrat?
Soviet.
Think of where we've gone here and what we have to do to, and I hate to use this term because it's such a cliche, take our country back. And
that's a toughie.
It's going to take a while. It probably won't happen in our lifetimes.
Well,
we have to start chipping away at this.
Well, what we have to do is get enough Americans to wake up to what's going on and start voting differently. Now, the thing that's actually working in our favor, Tony, and we've seen this as a deficit because we've talked so much about D versus R, Democrats versus Republicans. The younger demographic isn't falling for that. They're going libertarian. They are looking at what's going on between the D's and the R's, and they're going, okay, you guys are both pretty shot out. I don't want to deal with either of you.
You're both about big government and controlling my life.
Right. I don't like either one of you. I like the libertarians. I like what they're saying. And we would do well to take a look at that. I mean, we really do need to take a look at that and not buy into all this extremist scare tactic stuff.
Well, you know, and there's a lot of different levels of libertarianism.
Different types.
You're a Christian libertarian.
Yeah.
I'm a conservatarian.
Yeah, conservative libertarian. And they're also very leftist libertarians.
Right. But one thing that they all have in common is individual liberty.
Right.
And we have to get back to the idea of individual responsibility and individual liberty, where you're free to live your life as you see fit, as long as you don't hurt anybody else. And they're free to live their lives as they see fit, as long as they don't hurt anybody else. And get rid of all this BS about trying to control people's lives.
You legislate through constitutional rights and freedoms, okay? But you encourage morality. You don't legislate morality. You encourage morality.
And you know,
discourage immorality.
And you know, when morality was encouraged, back before we had this Leviathan called this big government bureaucracy that we have today, morality was encouraged.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much legislated.
No, it was individually. Look, when your daughter wound up pregnant out of wedlock, she had to go away to live with her aunt in Wyoming for a little while.
Who was sick for 9 months.
Yeah, to take care of her.
Yeah, we have to bring shame
We didn't kill the baby. We adopted the baby out.
And so morality is something that we have to deal with on a personal level, and we have to...
We have to deal with it as a society.
As a society, but personally and as a society. But we deal with it, not the government.
Right.
And we allow the people to decide morality and to enforce morality through shame.
I mean, hey, if they...
Because that's what used to enforce morality.
Right.
Was shame. Now, anybody who kills somebody, that's different.
But now see,
that you need laws for. But there are only a few laws that you need to control that kind of behavior.
But see, government is now outlawing shame.
Yeah.
You know, if you own a bakery and you make wedding cakes, yet you're opposed to gay marriage, so you go, no, I'm not going to make a... they should be ashamed of themselves. I'm not going to make a cake for them. No. No, they'll come in and sue you.
No, you're the one who is shamed.
Yeah, you're shamed.
You're shamed. So they switch shame around.
Yeah.
So what we have to do is unflip this upside down world we've created.
Yeah.
Because we are now in Bizarro Land. Any old Superman comic book fans will know what I'm talking about. We are in Bizarro World.
As a pastor, what I would say is we individually have to start leading godly lives. We don't have to turn it into a law. We don't have to force anybody to do it. We have to make the decision individually to start leading godly lives and raising godly families and seeing and understanding that because the civil law says a thing is okay does not mean that God says it's okay. Civil law doesn't get to determine what is and is not sin. God does. Who are you going to answer to in the end? The president? The governor? Or God? And you need to start living your life according to the answer to that, folks, because it's real common sense.
Yeah, it is.
And if you start raising your families and you start living your lives according to that, we can turn this thing around. And we don't have to force anything on anybody, because we'll start voting differently. We'll start trusting our fellow citizens. We'll start saying, hey, you know what? I don't necessarily agree with the fact that you run around your yard naked growing squash, but you're not hurting anybody, so let's vote for freedom.
Yeah, that's your business.
Yeah.
So anyway, manipulation, and our last guest, Colin Christopher, I encourage you to go to his website.
And that is the biggest manipulation, Tony, is that we've been led to believe we cannot trust our fellow citizens.
Oh, yeah, and we've been divided. And of course,
that's what we're seeing in Ferguson.
It's divide and conquer.
Yeah.
And the government is the one doing the dividing and conquering.
Yeah.
Why were there three people from Eric Holder's Justice Department down in Ferguson, Missouri?
To stoke division.
To stoke division.
Right.
And so our government divides us, and that's how they conquer us. So we have to get together and say, look, we all believe in liberty, and we
don't need you.
And we don't need the government to tell us how to live our lives. We can handle that on our own. We need to start raising our children with two-parent households. Let's get back to a little bit of morality, because morality, it shouldn't be legislated, but
it is the cure.
It is the cure. And until we get back to morality as a society and through societal functions like church and organizations and community organizations that we used to respect and have a lot of.
Yeah.
Now we've turned all of that over to government and allowed government to become our God. It's time to get back to the real one.
Amen.
All right. Mark Levin is next. Stick around for him. We'll see you tomorrow at 3. Good night and
God bless.